אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
As Australia Day approaches, debates around national identity, protest and social cohesion are once again at front of mind. Joining us now is Nick Gerstel from Stand Up, an Australian organisation that works to build bridges between the Jewish community and First Nations peoples and to promote respectful public discourse through outreach and education. Nick, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Marielle. Thanks for having me.
So, Nick, tell us a little bit about Australia Day and what it means for you and your organisation.
Well, I think, firstly, Australia Day and Jan 26 represents an opportunity to pause and reflect on this country and the country we're trying to build. It means a lot of things to different people. Jan 26 is often an incredible day to celebrate for a lot of people that have come to this country seeking safety from other dangerous parts of the world, or celebrating freedom, celebrating their citizenship, and celebrating a lot of what this country has to offer. Having said that, it's incredibly important to also note that this day represents a lot of hardship and mourning and sacrifice for First Nations and Torres Strait Islander people. And that can come about in multiple ways. I've heard this day be called a day of mourning, and that's after William Cooper in 1938, 150 years after the first fleet landed. He called Jan 26 as a day of mourning to represent the loss and the displacement that his people have experienced. There's also calls of this day as a survival day, which is a day to celebrate the resilience and the continuing culture of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. And of course, people have heard it as well as Invasion Day, which represents the day that the first fleet landed. So I think what's critical in this moment is to recognise that history, whilst it happened, it also is told by many different sides, and that there's a lot of different ways that this day is either celebrated or acknowledged, or taking a moment to think a bit more deeply about what it means.
Do you think that's why Australia Day has become such a flashpoint for cultural and political tension in Australia? Because of those contentious stories from different viewpoints, from a First Nations viewpoint versus someone who maybe has been born here and doesn't know any different?
For sure, absolutely. I think when multiple histories exist all at once and multiple truths exist, that's when people struggle to reconcile those differences. And I think what Australia has done well is to build this multicultural society. And we're fundamentally built on this idea that people have different experiences. And it's unfortunate that the Australia Day debate becomes so prominent at this time, because I actually think it distracts from greater issues that people need resolved in their lives. People still don't have access to, you know, housing and education and healthcare, especially in First Nations and Torres Strait Islander communities. And that's ultimately what activists and advocates for our First Peoples would be crying out for. And unfortunately, sometimes the debate gets caught up in these dates and trivial matters. But I can understand why that exists as well.
Are we getting better or worse at having these hard conversations about history and race in Australia?
It's a very good question. I don't know if I have the scope to quite answer it fully. In a lot of spaces that I work in, we're getting better. And that's what the work we do at Stand Up. We try and build allyship and solidarity between different organisations. And I think as a Jewish person speaking, especially after the last 2 years of misunderstandings, I think that when people don't know someone's story, it's easy to fill in the gaps themselves and judge and misconstrue things. And I think that's when truth-telling really comes to the fore. And that's a big thing in First Nations culture, is truth-telling and sitting in deep listening and doing a lot of that opening up the ears. In my space, I can see that progress has been made, but I also recognise that with the rise of social media and algorithms and people being in their own echo chamber, it's a question that we'll keep answering for a lot of time. But I know there's some amazing organisations that do some great work in building allyship and solidarity and understanding.
Before we get into some of your programs that you have with Stand Up and your outreach and cross-pollination with First Nations peoples, can you tell us, do you think that there is enough education within Australia to inform kids in this cultural climate about our history here in Australia?
That's a good question. I haven't been in school for over a decade, but I think it's getting better. I think there is some more understanding of the complex nature of Australia's history, and complexity isn't something that we should shy away from. I think it's, you know, every nation has its complex stories of moments that should be celebrated, moments that should be remembered as tough and tricky times. And I think there should be a bit more education about the history of Australia. You know, a lot of people on Jan 26 think it's the date that Australia was first seen, or the date that Australia was first landed on, or the date that people don't actually understand what this date represents. And the date was when the first fleet came to Sydney Cove and the penal colony was established. That's a history that people should know. And hopefully people know it, then these more diplomatic discussions can happen between different groups.
So how did you get more interested in this subject? Why is this something that seems to be acquired information? Why is this not ubiquitous? Any Australian should know something as fundamental as our history.
Why am I interested? I guess that's just where my interest lies. I care about history and I care about Australia. I love this country deeply. I think as a Jewish person, as a minority in this country, I've often seen how my story, my people's story can be misconstrued and misunderstood. I think I took that and wanted to understand the story of the first peoples in this country, and also want to understand the story of the colonists that came out in the 1700s and 1800s. Yeah, that's just a general interest of mine.
Nick, you're in charge of the 20-year flagship program of connecting Jewish young adults with the communities of the Tumla and Bugabilla people. Can you tell us a little bit about the program and what the general feedback has been from the First Nations people that are involved in hosting and participating in the program?
This is a program that's very, very close to my heart. I firstly just want to say a big shout out to all the people that built this program up. I'm currently the custodian of it, but on the Jewish side of things, it's a program that started in 2005 with Ian Yankelowitz and Mel Schwartz. And these were two Jewish university students that realized the lack of education that you mentioned before. And they wanted to understand First Nations Australia a bit more. And they wanted to lend a hand and support in whatever way they could. And so this relationship was started through a professor. And so for 21 years, we're colloquially known as the Jewish Mob. And we've been going up to these communities of Bugabilla and Tumla, and going there to not to help, and it's really critical that we don't use that language. It's more to learn, listen, sit down, understand, give our whole hearts, and also provide school holiday activities for the kids up there in school holidays, often left to their own devices. And I think that it's built an amazing partnership and friendship and family. And we've actually currently got a group up there now today spending time on country in the Gamilaroi lands and meeting elders. It's a program like this that lets people sit down and talk and listen to each other that actually builds that solidarity and allyship. And I think these immersive programs are the ones that allow people to reflect on their own experience and then take new experiences and go off with new profound understandings and hopefully go into the world with a little bit more compassion and understanding and can engage in an Australia that we're proud of.
Yeah, so do you think this cross-pollination actually helps leave an indelible impression on different people and communities?
100%. A lot of Aboriginal people in these communities wouldn't have met a Jewish man before. Well, there's actually
a
good story.
And vice versa, you know.
Exactly, yeah. 100%, you're spot on. And I actually do want to mention a bit of history that people might not know, is that in Tumla is an old mission. It's an old Aboriginal reserve where the Gamilaroi people were taken off their lands, displaced, their lands taken from them, and they were put into a mission controlled by a mission manager. That mission manager only left in the 70s, and the government fully pulled out and took their resources and said, if you want to be your own people and independent, then we won't give you any support. And so that was what's done. And as you can imagine, there was, you know, a lack of sustainable housing and a lack of healthcare and a lack of education. And so a Jewish judge, Justice Marcus Seinfeld, went through Tumla in 1988 and wrote a report about the deplorable living standard conditions of Tumla. And that's what brought Australian eyes and international eyes to this issue, specifically in Tumla, which was representative of other Aboriginal communities around Australia.
So it started with Tumla.
But that was in 1988. And then later, 17 years later, that's when the first iteration of the Derech Eretz program began. And from there, over 300 Jewish mob have gone through and seen these communities and met elders. And likewise, we also run programs in reverse where First Nations young adults have come down to Sydney and come down to Melbourne and gone through the outback of New South Wales with their Jewish mob allies, learning about this country's history and really engaging in those deep discussions.
Yeah, wow. It sounds so inspiring. And I'm just wondering why this isn't part of a school curriculum that every school in Australia should be participating in.
That's a great question. I think funding might be your answer there.
Yeah. So the Jewish and the Aboriginal populations both have a shared history, isn't that correct?
100%, especially in Australia. A lot of people might not know, but William Cooper is this incredible man from Cumrungunja Mission up in Yorta Yorta country, and he marched in 1938 against the persecution of my people in Eastern Europe, in Germany, in Austria, through the pogrom of Kristallnacht. And he marched to the German consulate through Footscray on foot, and he delivered a letter to stop the persecution of my people. And my personal story is my grandmother fled Vienna on the night of Kristallnacht. So I'm very connected to this story. From there is a long, long history of Jewish First Nations solidarity and allyship in this country. And that's a history that we're trying to teach people, because unfortunately it's been lost in some cases. People want to pit minorities against each other, but that's not the work that we do.
In closing, Nick, if you could shift one thing about how Australia Day is discussed publicly, what would it be?
I just hope that people can acknowledge the multiple truths on that day. I think that day, as I said in the opening, has so many, for so many people, it's a beautiful day to celebrate their country and also their citizenship and their freedom. But also for a lot of people, it's a really hard day. And so I hope that people can hold those multiple truths, because I think that's what builds a stronger and more understanding, compassionate society.
Oh, Nick, thank you so much for joining us here on SBS Hebrew. It's been fascinating to hear about this. Thank you.
No worries, Marielle. Anytime. I really appreciate the time you've taken to speak to me and get to know my people and my program. And I'm very, very proud of the work we do, and I'm looking forward to continuing on.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.